the rest of the story. At 34, Gertrude feared the time was running out. If ever she were to have another child, she decided, it must be now. An even greater fear was that she'd give birth to a boy because she had two sons already and Gertrude wanted a girl. It was a special relationship, Gertrude reasoned, shared by a parent and child of the same gender, and so one summer day she told husband George that she wanted another baby and she wanted it to be a girl. And to ensure that they would have a baby girl, Gertrude insisted that George see a doctor. Perhaps she thought he might have an effective suggestion. Well, George visited a Dr. Leo Madsen, who was also a close friend, and the physician said yes, there was something George could do to encourage the birth of a female child. He could have his tonsils out. What on earth for, George wanted to know. What possible connection could there be between his tonsils and the sex of his offspring? Never mind, the doctor replied, you just do it. Well, George was incredulous, but obedient. He had his tonsils removed. But they grew back. But Dr. Madsen was adamant if George wanted a baby girl, he must submit to a second tonsillectomy, which he did. Well, shortly thereafter, Gertrude got pregnant. The rest, of course, was up to her. As subliminal encouragement to her unborn infant, Gertrude selected a girl's name for the child, began referring to it as such, so that her daughter would grow up with a strong aesthetic sense. The expectant mother subjected herself to every imaginable cultural influence. Tone deaf herself, nonetheless, she kept a steady stream of classical music flowing from her radio. From the library, she harvested the cream of literature's crop, brought the classics home and read them aloud. She visited all of the local museums and drenched herself in a symphony of form and color. Strolling about town, Gertrude made it a point of appreciating architectural nuances in each building she passed. And so that her unborn child one day would feel equally comfortable in the city and the country, she drank in as much natural beauty as she could, noticing the delicacy of wildflowers, the embrace of warm breezes, the quiet majesty of the surf lapping the shore. And what better influence on a little girl, Gertrude thought, than romantic movies. So she went to see movies, lots of them, and always romantic movies. One happy April evening, a child was born to Gertrude and George. It had a shiny bald head. It had a short, broad face, and its ears stuck out. And it was the most beautiful thing that its parents had ever seen, for it was a girl. As she had predicted and even sought to predestine, Gertrude at long last had her daughter. Dr. Madsen never did explain to George what had been so all-fired important about getting his tonsils out. But anyway, it didn't matter now. For just as Gertrude had hoped, her little girl would have a profound affinity for all things bright and beautiful, as well as a considerable musical gift. I think there was never a child more wanted before she arrived, nor more appreciated once she was here, than the baby daughter of Gertrude and George Temple. Gertrude and George Temple. And the little girl's name, which mother had chosen in advance, was, of course, Shirley Temple. And now you know the rest of the story.